WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It ought to go. It's un-American. It's inconsistent with our best values of equal opportunity. Who can get the job done, not what your private life is about.
Connecticut's independent senator, Joe Lieberman, on why he wants to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But it'll have to wait, as the attempt to attach the repeal to the latest Pentagon spending bill failed under a Republican filibuster yesterday. The DREAM Act is also going down, an amendment to the spending bill that would have allowed illegal immigrant children to become citizens if they grow up to serve 2 years in the military or go to 2 years of college. Will they come back for an up or down vote, these two measures, after the election? We'll talk about that and the kind of shocking Quinnipiac poll showing Carl Paladino just 7 percentage points behind Andrew Cuomo in the New York State governor's race. We have started a Cuomo-Paladino open thread now on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Check it out and add to it if you want. It's afreecountry.org. Ben Smith from Politico.com is here now to talk about all this. Hi, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
You tweeted just a little while ago that the worst place to be today is Andrew Cuomo's campaign office. Is this poll that much of a bombshell?
You know, it really is. I mean, Paladino had been dismissed as a joke by Republicans, by the press. I mean, he was literally introduced to the New York City, but with Daily News covers that were basically like, how did this crazy guy get the nomination? And let's look at all the wacky stuff he said.
Right. Mad Carl disease was one of the headlines.
Yes. And yet he's, you know, 6 or 7 points out. I think, I mean, a lot of people, this is a very anti-establishment year, and, you know, he's been calling Andrew Cuomo status Cuomo with a certain amount of accuracy. The guy grew up in the governor's mansion and is the son of the former governor, you know, been in a Democratic operative all his life, essentially. And so, it's an interesting moment. This would sort of be the outlier of outliers in terms of a kind of grassroots Republican anti-establishment victories this fall.
And we can take phone calls just as we have the open thread on itsafreecountry.org. We have the open phones on the Cuomo-Paladino race right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Listeners, are any of you kind of unlikely Paladino supporters or people who find yourself giving him a good look because of the condition of New York State today and maybe your feelings about Andrew Cuomo when you didn't think you would? Anybody in that position or anyone else anywhere on this? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And, Ben, can you break down who Paladino's supporters are, at least so far? And we should say that it's, you know, early. This is very fluid. People are just getting to know who Paladino is. I'm sure Cuomo's going to go very negative soon in advertising. And who knows how this is going to wind up eventually. But at this point, who are those 42% of the potential voters?
Well, they are, the most important group of them are independents voters. I mean, that's sort of who's been driving the shift away from Democrats this year. 49% of independents said they preferred Paladino to 43% of Democrats. That's a really dangerous number for Andrew Cuomo, because independents and Republicans just appear to be more motivated this year to show up at the polls than Democrats do. And while Andrew Cuomo is generally liked by Democrats, he doesn't have a passionate base of people who are just going to, you know, turn out for him no matter what. Where Paladino seems to have tapped into the anger of the angriest people, and the angriest people right now are in upstate New York, where he is.
Are there policies, dare I raise the question of policy in this conversation,
No. On
how to reform Albany and cut the budget very different? I mean, Cuomo has been talking tough toward the legislature, with respect to ethics, with respect to spending. Paladino is certainly doing the same thing. Is just their styles different, or would these be very substantially different Albanys depending on who's in power in terms of policy?
Well, they're talking in similar terms about cutting down spending, cracking down on municipal unions. Paladino obviously well to Cuomo's right in terms of, you know, talking about really restricting spending. You could make the case, though, that he will go in at war with a very powerful legislature, and I imagine Cuomo will say unlikely to get anything at all done. Where Cuomo, you know, coming in with what had appeared to be a position of strength, was sort of running on the promise that he would be able to kind of muscle his old friends into concessions. Paladino, the thinness of his substance and policies can't be overestimated. He rolled out a panel on, you know, important fiscal issues this morning, naming Larry Kudlow and folks like that as, you know, the members of this panel. When asked about the panel by the Post's Fred Dicker, Kudlow burst out laughing and had apparently never heard of the thing.
Really?
Ned Regan, one of the other people, said...
New York State Republican controller.
Yeah, and so Ned Regan, the former controller, reportedly laughed uncontrollably when asked if he would serve on it. Larry Kudlow said that he didn't know what to say and didn't know Paladino. So, I mean, I think there's, and this was the big policy rollout today. So,
yeah. Nice. That's bigger news than the poll. Well, I don't know if it's bigger news than the poll,
it points to the degree to which Paladino is running on this sort of raw emotion and
is considered a joke even within much of the Republican Party.
Right. These are core conservative Republican establishment figures who thought it was funny that they would be associated with him.
Rebecca in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Rebecca.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, even though I'm a Democrat and a state employee and all my interests lie with Cuomo, so I would have to vote for him. I think he should really be aware that Paladino is very charismatic. He's sort of a demagogue. And it reminds me of when Hillary Clinton was running against Obama. And, you know, she had the whole establishment. And Obama was a breath of fresh air. I mean, and people are just so bored with the same old names and faces.
Thank you for your call. How about that ABC vote, Ben? Anyone but Cuomo seeing it as same old, same old. It's like, you know, she talks about Hillary and Obama when it was going to go, if she was the next president or this president, it would have been Bush, Clinton over a, you know, 20-year period.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a similar sentiment. Cuomo's people are clearly aware of it because their first attacks on Paladino have been that he's really an Albany insider too, because he's given money to Albany politicians and is a landlord to a lot of government offices. I mean, I'm not sure that's really going to cut when you're the governor's son. I mean, there's nobody more inside than Cuomo. I do think, I mean, looking at these poll numbers, there are really striking signs of the different appeals they have. I mean, notably, Cuomo is up by a massive margin with women, while something like 54-34, while Paladino is winning narrowly among men. And I think that's going to be sort of a gender gap that both of them look to exploit.
That's the traditional Democratic and Republican gender gap.
Yeah, there's usually a gender gap. That is a huge one.
Writ large here, partly as I understand it, and I don't know if Quinnipiac reflects this, because women are more unenthusiastic about voting for Democrats this year than men are enthusiastic about voting for Republicans. It's that the men are angry in one analysis that I read. Women are more disillusioned, and disillusion doesn't send you to the polls. Anger does.
Yes. You can kind of blame the enthusiasm gap on the gender gap in a certain way, for sure.
Jacob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jacob.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm a Jew living in Brooklyn, and I connected to Carl Paladino's message. I didn't know him before. On election night, he gave his speech. His appeal was, people are angry, people are mad as hell, people are losing jobs here in the city, we are fed up from our politicians ignoring us, Cuomo not even campaigning or not even showing he's interested in our vote, and here we have a guy that actually connects to our message. He appeals what we feel every day in our daily lives, economy, losing jobs, taxes, and all these kind of issues. So it's not so shocking for me, that poll, because I know a lot of people relate to their issues, and therefore I give him a big chance of winning this governorship.
Jacob, thank you. David in Newdorp on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
identify the big game changer was the election of Chris Christie, who now has given people the opportunity to believe that all this talk about changing the state financial policies can be done. If it weren't for Chris Christie, people wouldn't be taking Palladino seriously, but Christie has opened the door. He saved New Jersey. Now people think New York can be saved.
David, thank you. What do you think about that analysis? Is there Christie contagion?
I think both candidates are looking very hard at Christie. Cuomo has really been almost mimicking his rhetoric at times, has sort of associated himself with what Christie's done in New Jersey in terms of, you know, reining in and going to war with the public sector unions and with pension, you know, pension spending, things like that. I mean, the difference between Christie and Palladino, the thing that's going to sink in for people over the next month, is that Chris Christie was this respected former prosecutor who wasn't, you know, who was very well qualified in traditional terms for the job, who did not have a record of saying crazy stuff, who wasn't going to make people nervous on a personal level. And Palladino is. I mean, you know, it's one of the features of cycles like this that people who lack the traditional qualifications and in fact have all sorts of skeletons in their closets get kind of kicked to the fore where they wouldn't necessarily be in a more ordinary cycle. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing happening around the country is that, you know, Republicans who should have a pretty clear shot in the kind of seats on the edge of the action, you know, are hobbled by their personal stories, like as is Christine O'Donnell in Delaware.
Ben Smith from Politico, my guest on WNYC, as we talk about, among other things, and we will go on to some other things, the very surprising Quinnipiac poll that came out today showing Carl Palladino just 6 points behind, and I mistakenly said 7 points behind. I mean, that's within the margin of error, but I thought I saw 49 to 42. It's actually 49 to 43 in this Quinnipiac poll. Andrew Cuomo, 49, Carl Palladino, 43, so much closer than anybody expected it to be. And as I said at the top of the show, we don't usually do a segment built around a poll, but nobody expected the race in New York to be this kind of a race, even at this early point. You hear all the caveats from Ben. Before we do go on to a couple of other things, where does this leave the Cuomo campaign? They have so far mostly ignored Palladino. And we saw that in the Republican primary, Rick Lazio refused to debate Palladino, dismissing him as fringe, and Lazio lost. So what's the lesson in all of this for Andrew Cuomo?
I mean, I think the lesson is going to be that he should engage him very hard and very fast, which honestly, I think they were pretending to ignore him. But I think that is what, you know, you're going to start. You saw the state Democratic Party starting to do already. And, yeah, I think the goal is going to be to disqualify him, to say, you know, you may identify with things about him, you may like that he's angry, but ultimately this guy's too crazy to be given the reins of government.
All right. Let's talk about some activity in the United States Senate, where the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy survived a procedural vote yesterday. Here is Senator John McCain on one reason he supported the filibuster against the repeal.
We need to know the views of the men and women who are serving in the military in uniform. Give them a chance to tell us their views. Whether you agree or disagree with the policy, whether you want to keep it or repeal it, the Senate should not be forced to make this decision now before we have heard from our troops.
Now, Ben, the Pentagon, as Senator McCain was alluding to there, is doing its one-year review of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, due in just a few months. So considering that, why did the Democrats try to repeal it now with this amendment to a Pentagon spending bill?
Well, there was, you know, the Democrats had worked out a compromise plan that had satisfied to some degree the Joint Chiefs, who were key players. A lot of senators would not have gone along with this in any way if the Joint Chiefs were really openly against it. A plan that gave the military a certain amount of control over the timing, that allowed a military review to proceed, and so they'd worked out this, but that also satisfied gay rights groups who were very eager that a vote be this year before the Republicans strengthened their hand in Congress. And so they had worked out this whole big compromise, and the only people who weren't on board were the Senate Republican moderates. And because of, I think, really the broader political climate, the same thing we were talking about a couple minutes ago, people like Olympia Snow just decided this wasn't a fight they wanted right now. This wasn't something that they would support.
And, in fact, here's another clip. Olympia Snow's fellow senator in Maine who has similar moderate politics, Republican Susan Collins.
I cannot vote to proceed to this bill under a situation that is going to shut down the debate and preclude Republican amendments.
But you know what I'm curious about, Ben? Is it pretty much inevitable at this point that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to be repealed in roughly a few months' time? You know, I've been asking the Republican candidates for U.S. Senate in New York when they were, some of them, when they were on the show during the primaries to run against Gillibrand and Schumer, including DeGuardi, who got the nomination against Gillibrand. I said, if you were in and the Pentagon brass came back with the recommendation, you know, if you have the Joint Chiefs of Staff now saying repeal, don't ask, don't tell, would you as a Republican stand against that in the United States Senate? And nobody said, yes, they would stand against it.
You know, it's not like the Joint Chiefs are out there begging Congress to repeal it. They grudgingly went along with a White House compromise plan, and everybody sort of can feel that. What the service members, what Aubrey Sarvis, one of the sort of leading advocates in favor of repeal, said yesterday was that he thought they had a slim shot of repealing it in the lame duck session, which would be, you know, after the election, but with most of the same Congress. I don't know. I don't see how this gets. I think it is harder every day from now on, and I don't see how it happens anytime soon.
And also the Dream Act, which was also going to be attached to this Pentagon spending bill.
This was a brilliant maneuver to force everybody to vote for this by attaching it to a
military
defense authorization bill that nobody would dare filibuster. But John McCain, you know, felt that nobody was going to attack him for being soft on defense and kind of put his stamp on the filibuster.
Now, the Dream Act, for people who don't know, this would allow a path to citizenship for people who came here illegally as children, brought here by their parents as illegal immigrant children, then grew up to either serve 2 years in the U.S. military or go to college for 2 years, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And also filibustered out of this bill.
Right, and in fact, was part of the pretext for the filibuster, because then it was people like Susan Collins saying, not I'm against gay rights, but saying, you know, why is Harry Reid turning this defense bill into this sort of grab bag of political favors and political sort of moves, particularly to shore up his own Hispanic base in Nevada, which, you know, was part of the dynamic.
That's the going political analysis, is Harry Reid needs a lot of Hispanic votes to survive his election. And so that's why he pushed this right now, even though it will fail to drum up some more enthusiasm among Hispanic voters to actually turn out in Nevada to support him. How about the Dream Act's ultimate prospects? I mean, and what if they took college out of it? If they stood up there and said, okay, if you were brought here by your parents as like a 5-year-old and grew up in the United States and then served 2 years in the military, you get citizenship.
I do think that would be easier, but a lot of members of Congress of both parties are just sort of running scared right now. Democrats feel that they kind of took their share of hard votes last year. I think the kind of dominant instinct is to do nothing about anything that could get you in trouble.
All right. Ben Smith from Politico.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
And now happening on our new politics website, it's afreecountry.org. There is an open comments thread where you can react to the surprisingly close Paladino-Cuomo poll. It's afreecountry.org. Also there we have voting underway for topics to include in our election series, 30 issues in 30 days. Vote your favorite issue to the top of the list. And while you're there, you can take our daily politics quiz. Today's question is the Conservative Party candidate for governor of New York more conservative or less conservative than the Republican Party candidate? There's something to learn and something to do at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Michael Moore is our next guest. Stay tuned.